questions on that, we will at this time move on to our final item on the agenda, which is to hear from Secretary Cancellor concerning budget updates. Secretary Cancellor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that we're either about to run out of time. I think we have run out of time, so I'll keep this brief, but we'll answer any questions you have. We continue to work to try to make sure that we achieve the budget target set by the legislature. Just breaking the whole budget picture down between Medicaid and non-Medicaid. And non-Medicaid, I feel confident we are going to hit the targets. We're implementing our administrative reductions to achieve the about $9 million reductions that are there. We are finalizing the reductions that will take place with respect to nonprofits. We have made all the other reductions and put in place those other issues. So given the budget, we're okay. Medicaid, as we've discussed, is a much more difficult animal to tame. I ask my finance folks in Medicaid to give me a list of the $356 million in reductions that the budget said about that a little bit. About $40 million, $30 some million of that relates to timing on getting approval from CMS. So about a third of it is related to that specific timing. There's another $13 million related to federal mandates that is tied. There was, as you recall, basically the budget said we're not going to take any inflationary or have any inflationary increases. But there's about $13 million worth of inflationary increases that the federal government requires us to do. And so we're going to have to do those. So we're not going to be able to achieve that because of federal mandates. There's another about $13 million in the inflation that is related to the nursing home industry, because to eliminate that inflation eliminates the case mix system that the legislature put in place. And in conversation with the chairs and others, it was not the intent of the legislature to eliminate the case mix system. And so we're trying to figure out how we may deal with that $13 million, because it would if we eliminate that inflation factor. There are some items in the budget that, as the budget is being put together, that there were some overstatements, because they would say, well, how much will you save if we do this? We'd have that figure, but then whenever we made rate adjustments, it should have impacted that figure, because it changes the impact of the figure. It wasn't made, so there's about $17 million there. And then the rest of it is related to, can CCNC achieve targets? Can some of the other things achieve targets? And we're working to make sure that happens. We don't know. So at this point in time, we have $100 million in question. And we're doing everything we can to try to achieve that. We do have a medical care advisory committee made up of a number of folks, both consumer and different providers, giving us input into what they think we ought to do. The problem is that if we're $100 million short and we want to fix it, then we have to figure out what we're going to do to the program. We have to submit state plan amendments to make that happen. And we have to get federal approval. And so basically, to start now to get that done, which we'd have to do very soon, be it rate adjustments, be it service modifications, be it whatever it may be, to get $100 million, we're basically going to have to come up with $300 to $400 million in reductions, because we could only have it in place for 3 or 4 months out of the year. And so we're evaluating all that, trying to see what we can do without damaging the safety net program. But we're also putting a lot of focus on how we better manage the services. When is prior authorization appropriate? When is limiting the number of visits appropriate? How do we make sure that we are providing the most cost-effective care? CCNC is our tool for doing that. I am confident that with the things that they're coming up with to save the money, that there's a lot of tools they have in their toolbox they're going to use, can save in excess of $90 million, but it's dependent upon how quickly we can enroll the age and disabled population into the program. And ramping that up rapidly is difficult. So we're working on that. We're increasing that enrollment. I'm not sure we're going to increase it fast enough to achieve the savings in the time frame we have, but we're doing everything possible to try to get there. So where we're at right now at this meeting is I have a hole in the Medicaid budget. The rest of the budget, I think, is fine, but I have a hole there, and we're working every day trying to figure out how we fill that hole without doing some devastating things to the system.
All right. Question from members? Senator Berger?
Secretary Kanzler, are you going to come back to this committee and present the plan of action that you're going to adopt, or are you just going to begin to implement it? For example, I mean, one of the things that this budget empowered you to do is make the policy decision on whether optional programs can be cut. Are you going to come back to us and say, look, we've got this $100 million. This is how we're going to plug it up. We're going to eliminate hospice care. We're going to, or whatever program. Are you going to just do it, or are you going to come back and get our input before you make that final decision?
First of all, let me say that eliminating optional services is at the bottom of my list, because I don't see any optional service that we can eliminate that will not come back at us some other way and perhaps cost us more. Maybe modifications, but better controller utilization and rates may be the thing. No, it's my intention to keep you informed of where we're going. The Medicare Advisory Committee, again, which is a committee that's required by CMS, I'm just putting a lot more burden on them than what's ever been on them before, said look at rates, targeted, not across the board. Look at the kind of services that are critical versus those that aren't so critical, and look at rates related that way. To look at utilization controls, limit the services more, maybe instead of X number of doctor visits a year, you have a few less than that is allowed. Look at the medications, look at all those kind of things, but they say try not to eliminate any optional service for the same reason I've just said. You squeeze the balloon one place, it pops out somewhere else. But we will keep you informed as we go through that. Problem is at least by the next meeting, anything we're going to do, we're going to have to do. I am looking at every option of how we can cover the cost, because right now we're in a position that, again, to cut four times as much on an annual basis as we need to fill the budget this year will cut much deeper into the program. I mean, that'd be like a 16% rate adjustment across the board, which the system would collapse with that, or eliminating just about every optional service. It's going to be a very difficult hole to fill, so what I'm focused on right now is figuring out how to narrow the gap.
Follow up. Can you share with us what effect the reforms we made a couple years ago with regard to personal care services, whether you've had any success with those reforms or not?
Those reforms can save a lot of dollars. The savings has been limited at this point in time. The reforms were going to be implemented June 1, and in fact were. However, on May 31st, a suit was filed in federal court to try to block implementation of those reforms. The federal judge, we're in the middle of October, the federal judge still has not heard or scheduled a hearing for that. The issue is whenever you're making these changes and you're reducing services or changing services for anyone, they have an appeal rights. And we have about 2,000 consumers who have appealed the decision to modify their services under the personal care services thing. Those 2,000 continue to get their services until such time as the appeal is heard. The Office of Administrative Hearings has decided that since there was a suit filed in federal court, that they were going to wait to see what the federal judge did before they heard any of those appeals. We're now, again, the suit was filed in May. It's now the middle of October. No hearing's been scheduled. I don't know if the federal judge is ever going to hear that suit. And right now, administrative hearings is not hearing any of the appeals on this, so we're providing services at the rate of about over $1.6 million a month to folks who's waiting to hear an appeal at OAH is not hearing it because OAH is waiting to see what the federal judge has done. And so at $1.6 million a month, you can add that up and see over the course of the year that is all reductions that's built into the budget that we're not achieving because we're waiting on appeals to be heard.
Chairman Dollar?
Thank you. Just a quick comment, partly to answer Senator Berger's question. Certainly, any major proposed adjustments to the budget would be discussed in this in committee, and we'd have full discussion of that. There are certainly a number of ongoing efforts to work through a number of these issues, look at what the options are, and make sure that we are fully realizing all of the areas in which we were seeking to achieve savings, so to as to minimize the amount of money that might actually be a gap there that has to be bridged by the end of the fiscal year. The other thing I would point out is that even at $100 million, that's a couple of percent, 2-3% issue, because the size of this budget is so large. So it just points out the difficulty for everyone in managing budgets that are this large, when the state has limited ability in many instances to be able to manage that budget. So I sort of take this occasion to renew my call for the federal government to sort of move forward on a number of the things that we've asked of them. Would certainly help us bridge that gap.
Mr. Chairman, if I can just mention one other thing before you close. I did have one of the members ask me about what the status of the IMD issue is, and without getting into a lot of different stuff, as you recall, there's three issues with IMD, or with adult care homes. There's the IMD issue, institutional mental disease issue. Then there's the I waiver or the PCS adult care home issue. And then third, there's the DOJ, Department of Justice issue related to Olmstead and American Disabilities Act. We will begin doing the assessments on the facilities that have been identified as potential IMDs, I think within the next 2 weeks. With a plan that CMS has approved to be through that leave. Hopefully we'll soon hear from CMS granting us an extension of time on the I waiver to give us time to figure out how we're going to deal with all the issues related to adult care home PCS and PCS overall. And if they do that, though, they're going to have certain timelines that we have to meet in order to keep that extension in place. So I think we are hopefully going to make some progress there based upon verbal reports. And with DOJ, we have had an initial meeting and other meetings coming up to plan a schedule and working with them through negotiations, and we'll try to keep you up to date on what happens with that as that process goes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Any further questions? Chairman Pegg, any further questions? All right. With that, we will finish up the day, and I will note, members, your original, I think you had an original schedule that was sent out with the November date on it, which was the 15th, and that we are going to move our committee meeting back to the 8th, which is its normal day. So please note that when you receive your notice that it will be for November the 8th, not the 15th. And with that, the committee is adjourned.